In my talk, I will discuss some issues in quantum foundations. It's mainly about the interpretation of the wave function. So more than 80 years ago, Schrödinger asked at the field theory conference, what does the precise function mean now? That is, how does the system described by it really look like in three dimensions? Today, this is still a central issue in quantum foundations. In this talk, I will try to provide a possible answer. So my talk includes three parts. In the first two parts, I will briefly introduce the two views of the wave function and the idea of protective measurement. Then I will present my own analysis. So in general, there are two realistic views of the wave function. The first one takes the wave function as a physical field. This view is assumed by most realistic interpretations of quantum mechanics. The second view takes the wave function as a description of some sort of ergodic motion of particles. For example, in the Broglie-Bohm theory, the wave function is generally considered as an objective physical field, called a precise field, though there are various views on the nature of the field. For example, it is an active information field or a field carrying energy and momentum. Even a causal agent, more abstract than ordinary fields. One essential difference between the above two views is the following. A field exists throughout space at each instant, but the particles is in one position at each instant, and only during a time interval, the ergodic motion of the particle spreads throughout space. Then which view is right? Here is the outline of my argument. The above two views of the wave function can be detected by analyzing the mass and the charge density of a quantum system. The field interpretation leads to self-interactions that contradict experimental observations. And further analysis may also determine which sort of ergodic motion of particles the wave function describes. How do mass and charge distribute for a single quantum system? As we know, the mass and the charge of a classical system always localized in a definite position in space. Then, according to protective measurement, a quantum system has effective mass and charge density distributing in space, proportional to the modular square of its wave function. Now let me briefly introduce the principle of the protective measurement. According to the standard Feynman procedure of measurement, there are generally three kinds of quantum measurement. The first one is the most familiar, is the conventional impulse measurement. For such measurements, the coupling interaction is of short duration and strong, and the measurement result is eigenvalues of the measure observable. Then we also have the weak measurement and the protective measurement. For the protective measurement, the coupling interaction is of long duration and weak. And the measurement result is the expectation value of the observable. Moreover, the individual measurement is precise. So, in principle, we can only measure one quantum system, but in practical situations, a small example is needed. So the mass and the charge density can be measured by protective measurement as expectation values of certain variables for single quantum system. For example, an appropriate adiabatic measurement of the Gauss flux out of a certain region will yield the value of the total charge inside that region. Namely, the integral of the effective charge density over this region. So this is a consequence of the protective measurement. So a protective measurement implies that a quantum system has effective mass and charge density distributing in space proportional to the modular square of its wave function. It was noting that protective measurement strongly suggests a realistic view of quantum mechanics because the wave function can be measured by it even for a single quantum system. But I must say there are still some controversy about this conclusion. Anyway, if one insists on a realistic interpretation, then protective measurement will have strict restrictions on the realistic views. Then which view is consistent with the above result? Here is my analysis. If the mass and the charge density simultaneously distribute in space, namely taking the wave function as a physical field, then the densities in different regions will have gravitational and electrostatic interactions. But this not only violates the superposition principle of quantum mechanics, but also contradicts experimental observations. Here is a little detail. A detailed argument. The free Schrödinger equation with electrostatic self-interaction for an electron is the following. So it contains a self-interaction term. And we can calculate the measure of the strength of the electrostatic self-interaction. Here is the result. The measure of the stress is about 1,000. So this result means that the evolution of the wave function of an electron will be observably different from that predicted by quantum mechanics and confirmed by experiment. In fact, in some situations, this difference is more obvious. For example, the energy levels of hydrogen atoms will be significantly changed if there is such self-interactions. So, according to the above analysis, the mass and the charge density can exist throughout the space simultaneously. Then this means that at each instant there is only a localized particle with mass and charge, and only during a time interval. The time average of the ergodic motion of the particle form the effective mass and the charge density. Therefore, we can reach the conclusion that the wave function is a description of some sort of ergodic motion of particles. It's not a physical field. Then which sort of ergodic motion the wave function describes? Here I will not give the details, but it can be argued that the classical ergodic models that assume continuous motion of particles are not consistent with quantum mechanics. So here I just list some problems. So my conclusion is that ergodic motion must be discontinuous. This result can be seen more clearly from the double slit experiment. So in the usual double slit experiment, if there is only particle, then for example there is no pilot wave, no other things, then one can argue that a single particle must pass through both slits at the same time in a discontinuous way. I think this might be what Feynman meant when he said the double slit experiment is a phenomenon which is impossible, absolutely impossible to explain in any classical way. So if we assume there are only particles, then this result seems to hold true. In fact, by assuming the wave function I will give another argument. By assuming the wave function is a complete description for the motion of particles, I think we can also reach the above conclusion in a more direct way. For according to this assumption, the modular square of the wave function will not only give the probability density of finding a particle in a certain location, but also gives the objective probability density of the particle being there. For if we have this assumption, then the modular square of the wave function will also give the objective probability density of the particle being in certain locations. Then this kind of motion is essentially random and discontinuous. So I think the above view may have some support from John Bell, because Bell, in his last article against measurement, Bell said, the wave function gives not the density of star, but gives rather the density of probability. Probability of what exactly? Not of the electron being there, but of the electron being found there, if its position is measured. Why this aversion to being and insistence on finding? Bill's answer is, the founding fathers were unable to form a clear picture of things on the remote atomic scale. I think somebody may further argue that Bell's F-right theory he proposed in 1986. In this theory, Bell proposed some picture similar to the discontinuous motion, but Bell's picture is in the many worlds theory, and not in the space-time like our picture of motion. So, protective measurement suggests that the wave function is a description of quantum motion of particles. Such motion is essentially discontinuous and random. This seems to further result of protective measurement. Okay, here is I will briefly list some primary implications and some lab problems of the above view. According to my analysis, the de Broglie-Bohm theory is problematic. It may have some problems when explaining the mass and the charge density implied by the protective measurement. Moreover, one argument writes, in the framework of the random discontinuous motion of particle, a quantum is a one-world theory. This means that there is only one observer and one measuring device and one quantum system all the while during quantum evolution. Moreover, dynamical collapse theory will be in the right directions. But the existing collapse theories such as CSIL and GRW may require some major revision. First, according to my analysis, their ontology need to be revised from field to particle to the motion of particles. Next, the theory need to be reformulated in the framework of the random discontinuous motion. For instance, the random source to collapse the wave functions is usually regarded as a classical field. But according to the random discontinuous motion picture, the random source should be the inherent random motion of particles. So in this new framework, one can propose a new dynamical collapse series. It may have to solve some problems of the existing series. Certainly, there are still some hard problems. For example, the collapse, most collapse theories still can satisfy the energy conservation. This is a serious problem. Moreover, the wave function collapse need to be reconciled with the Lorentz invariance, or we may have to find a series that may violate the Lorentz invariance. The most important problem is the physical origin of the wave function collapse. So some physicists already proposed some conjectures. So this may be related to gravity, to the discrete space-time. So certainly there are still some work much work need to be done along these directions. So here is a summary of my talk. Protective measurement implies the wave function has mass and charge density. The problem is to how to explain this consequence. The field will lead to self interactions that contradict experiments. And the classical algorithm models of particles also fail in many respects. So we may reach the following conclusion. What the wave function describes is probably the random discontinuous motion of particles. It's not a continuous, not continuous motion. So for more details of my argument, please see my paper, The Meaning of the Wave Function. So that's our comment.
Thank you, Sean. We have a few minutes for questions. So your argument seems to be based on very much particles in physical space and a wave function in physical space. Now, if you have many particles, your wave function would be in configuration space. So I'm just wondering, what does your picture imply there? I think you were saying that if you had one particle, the particle would be spread out, and sort of that would sort of be the spread out wave function. But if you go to configuration space, is it then a discontinuous configuration that's sort of moving around?
For many body systems, the wave function lives on the configuration space. So then the random discontinuous motion will be the motion of many particles in space. But their motions have some entanglement with each other. So we can also define the wave function for the discontinuous motion of many particles. And in mathematics, we can also describe such motion using the measure theory. We can describe the measure density and the measure flux density. So they also will constitute a complex wave function. Then the wave function is naturally defined in the multi-dimensional configuration space.
I agree with the main argument you gave against seeing the wave function as a physical field, right? That was a reasonable argument. But it seems that the conclusion you got eventually was based on a false dichotomy. You said because we cannot see the wave function as being a physical field, therefore it must represent something like the probability of the particle being there. But that could be all the alternatives, right? That wouldn't be the only one. You can certainly take that one, say, saying the relief on the theory, then wave function represents the particle actually being there, and there's other extra baggage that comes with it. But you could take another position, say, well, maybe wave function represents probabilities of outcomes of experiments. Why did you say those were the only two options?
So in the talk, I refer to the one consequence of the protective measurement. According to protective measurement, the wave function of a single quantum system, for example, the stationary state or the eigenstate, can be measured even for a single quantum system, in principle. by using the adiabatic measurement. In practical situations, only a very small interval is needed to measure the wave function. So I think the protective measurement gave a strong argument for the reality behind the wave function. But certainly one can still argue that so the wave function is some kind of our knowledge about the measurement result. But I think this view is mostly based on the conventional impulse measurement. Because for impulse measurement, in each measurement, we can only get one result. That is, often is the eigenvalue or the observable. So in a random way, so we can only get the probability for example, then we get the expectation value through the example average. But for protective measurement, it can measure even the wave function of a single sitter. So I think this will give us strong support for interpreting the wave function realistically.
So just to see if I understand you correctly, you're saying because you can do it in principle a measurement on a single system and get out the wave function?
It's just for the eigen state, not the general quantum state, not the unknown quantum state.
Okay, so the protective measurement still won't give a full readout of a wave function?
Yeah.
Only specific.
For some specific state. But for the general state, we need to know some information about the quantum state before protecting measurement. We need protection to do the measurement. But for the eigen state, the protection is natural. So we need no artificial protection. Then we can measure an unknown quantum state for this situation.
Okay. The part of the sort of second part is it seems that it requires to be done. It needs to be done over a long time. So.
It requires a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. So is it essentially you could still interpret the wave function of that one of those unknown quantum states as a time averaging?
If we only see the outcome of the measuring device, if we can identify the outcome, we need a long time duration. But the pointer of the device always saves by amount of expected value. Even for very short time interval. But obviously for very short time interval, the uncertainty of the prediction uncertainty of the pointer will be less than the shift. So we can't read out the outcome. But the pointer always shifts by expectation value, not eigen value. So we can always, I think, we can always think the expectation value is some property of the one a single sitter, not in general for this kind of measurement.
I guess
the main point is, but it's never the expectation value that's time averaged expectation value rather than
a so this name may be misleading because in conventional quantum mechanics, the expected value is only obtained from a demo, not from a single C term.
Okay, we've got time for one more question, if it's a quick one. But if there are no more questions, let's shut down. Thank Sean and the other two speakers.